بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم مبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أسر إخوانكم بمكتبة واحدة بجزر البحر الكاريبي والولايات المتحدة، نرحب بفضيلة الشيخ بندر الخيبري حفظه الله تعالى، يواصل شرحه لكتاب الكبائر شيخ الإسلام محمد عبد الوهاب رحمه الله. Your brothers at MPUBs in the Caribbean and US are pleased to have with us our noble Sheikh Bender al-Khaybri. May Allah preserve him. We'll be continuing his explanation of the book of Kabair, Major Sins, by Sheikh Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahab. Pray to Father Sheikh Mashkura Majora.
على آله وصحبه ومن سار على سبيله وسلم بسنته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فمن الله يذكر وإياكم برحاب نحن كتاب الكبائر للشيخ الإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى. قد وقفنا عند قوله رحمه الله تعالى: باب الفحش. قول الله تعالى: إن الذين يحبون أن تشيع الفاحشة في الذين آمنوا لهم عذاب أليم. قوله تعالى: فنصحوا لله ورسوله ما على المحسنين من سبيل. أورد المصنف رحمه الله تعالى هذا الباب في كتابه كتاب الكبائر ليبين أن هذا الفعل وهذا القول وهذا الاعتقاد إنما هو من كبائر الذنوب. وقبل حديثي عن معنى الفحش وحقنه وخطئه، بين بارك الله فيكم أن الإسلام جاء بستره وجاء بعدم إشهار المنكرات وعدم انتشارها، بل والحد من انتشار هذه الفواحش والمنكرات في المجتمع الإسلامي. لذا جاءت الشيعة لتسد هذا الباب على نشر الفواحش والرذائل وقطع كل الطرق على من أراد أن تشيع هذه الفواحش في المسلمين وفي بلاد المسلمين. لذا حرمت الشريعة الغيبة والنميمة التي ذكر العيوب والأشياء التي يفعلها المرء وتكون سترة بينه وبين ربه جل وعلا، فيأتي الإنسان ويشيع الأمر بالغيبة النميمة. وكذلك جاء في الشرع التغليظ على من رمى شخصا بالزنا أو بفعل أفعال قوم نوح أو نحو ذلك، حد القذف أو نحو ذلك. هذا كله بارك الله فيكم يظهر لنا ويتبين لها أن الشريعة جاءت لإحكام هذا الباب وإغلاقه وسد هذا الطرق لكي يبقى المجتمع الإسلامي مجتمعا محافظا تظهر فيه شعائر الإسلام ومعالم الدين وتندثر وتندثر وتنطوي آثار الذنوب والمعاصي. نعم.
Our Shaykh, may Allah Azzawajal preserve him, began mentioning the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, praising Him, who is the Lord of everything in creation, and invoking His peace and blessings upon our Master, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then said, we are continuing our study of the book of Kabair, Major Sins, and we have reached the chapter which is entitled Al-Fuhsh, or the chapter of lewd sins. These are from the major sins, everything which is lewd. And in it, the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, only brought two verses. The entire chapter consists of only two verses. The first is Allah Azza wa Jalla's statement, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Indeed, those who love for lewdness, the news of lewdness, to be spread about the believers, هُمْ عَذَابٌ أَرِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. They shall have a painful torment this life and the afterlife. اللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And Allah knows and you don't know. And the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, إِذَا نَصَحُوا لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, if they give sincere advice to Allah and His Messenger. That is only part of an ayah from Surah At-Tawbah. And both of these ayahs mentioned in the chapter were placed there by the author, rahimahullah, to show how very major of a sin it is to spread the news of lewd sins in society, and how very dangerous it is to go around spreading the news of people's sins. The Islamic Sharia has come with concealing people's shortcomings and concealing their sins, so that the Islamic society will remain one which is clean and pure. And this mention and spreading this bad news will not encourage others. Rather, in the Sharia, we are commanded to keep the news of people's sins secret, so that all of the doors opening up and making it easier for people to practice these sins, because they become conditioned, because they hear about them over and over again, and so they have disregard for these sins and think they're normal because the news of them is always being spread about. This is exactly what the Sharia has come to close the door on. The mention of all lewd and low immoral practices and behaviors being talked about. In the Sharia, we have a prohibition of gossip, backbiting, and making mention of the faults and shortcomings of others. And even to the extent that we have a punishment in the Sharia for slander and for false accusations. If a person were to accuse another of committing adultery, fornication, or sodomy, the person who made that accusation, by Islamic law, is supposed to receive some lashes. They have a punishment coming just for making the accusation, just for making mention of and accusing someone else of doing, falling into these lewd sins. All of this shows us part of the spirit of the Islamic Sharia, which is to close all of the doors to evil, even by making mention of them, so that the Islamic society would remain one which is conservative, which is upright, which is moral, and when and where the practices of the religion and the acts of worship are those which are practiced out in the open. And the shortcomings that people may have and their violations of the religion will not be ones that are openly mentioned.
الشريعة الإسلامية حثت على الستر وعلى عدم انتشار الأمور القبيحة والمستقبحة في المجتمع الإسلامي. ولهذا ذكر المصنف رحمه الله تعالى هذا الباب هو باب الفحش. والفحش بارك الله فيكم هو الذي انتهى في القبح إلى أقصى حد. فهو ليس قبيح فقط بل هو وصل إلى غاية القبح. وأحيانا يظهر هذا القبح كما قال ابن عمر ولا تقربوا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن. هذه الفواحش قد تكون في القلب كما أحد التفسير عند أهل العلم أن هذه الفواحش التي تكون باطنة هي التي تتعلق بالقلب. وأحيانا تكون هذه الفواحش ظاهرة أي ما تتعلق بالبدن كالزنا أو السرقة أو شرب الخمر أو نحو ذلك. وعلى أحد التفاسير الأخرى أيضا أنه ما ظهر منها وبطن أي ما كان ظاهرا أمام الناس ويراه الناس ويكون على العلن أو ما يكون في الستر وفي الخفاء بين العبد وبين نفسه. وعلى كل حال فكل الفواحش أو كل ما يطلق عليه الفاحشة فهو الذي وصل في القبح غايته وأعلاه. ولذا هذه الفواحش لا يحبها الله سبحانه وتعالى ولا يأمر فيها جل وعلا. قل إن الله لا يأمر بالفحشاء أتقولون على الله ما لا تعلمون. الله سبحانه وتعالى لا يأمر بهذه الفواحش والقبائح وإنما يرتكبها الإنسان بقدر الله جل وعلا أي يعني القدر الكوني وإما القدر الشرعي فإن الله جل وعلا لا يحبه ولا يرضاه. وإذا أورد المصنف رحمه الله تعالى هذا الباب في كتاب الكبائر لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى قال إن الذين يحبون أن تشيع الفاحشة في الذين آمنوا لهم عذاب أليم. وهذا إذا رجعنا بارك الله فيكم إلى الوراء عند بداية الكلام عن هذا الكتاب، وقد بينا حفظكم الله كيف يميز العبد بين الكبائر وبين الصغائر ونحو ذلك من هذه الذنوب التي تتفاوت في الدرجات وليس على درجة واحدة، أن الكبيرة ما ترتب عليها لعن أو غضب أو وعيد في الدنيا أو وعيد في الآخرة أو حد في الدنيا. وهنا يتبين لنا أن هذا فيها أن في هذه أن في هذا الفعل وهو إشاعة الفاحشة وعيد في الآخرة وهو العذاب الأليم، فهناك توعد بالعذاب وليس عذاب فقط بل عذاب أليم، فدل على أن هذا الفعل هو من كبائر الذنوب. نعم
أحسن الله إليك. The Islamic Sharia has encouraged all of its adherents to practice covering, that is, covering up their own sins and the sins of others, not publicizing them, making open mention of them in public. Were there any practice which is filthy, any action which is immoral, is to be kept quiet. The author of the treatise, rahimahullah ta'ala, has mentioned this chapter, the chapter of al-fuhsh, or the lewd sins. And what is meant by al-fuhsh is something which is extremely ugly. Anything which has reached the absolute extent of being ugly, this is fuhsh. And sometimes these ugly practices are practiced openly, and other times they are secret. And Allah Azza wa Jalla forbids both types, both the outward manifestations of fuhsh and the inward manifestations thereof. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهْرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. Do not even come close to the lewd sins, those which are open and those which are inward, or those which are public and those which are private, or it could mean those which are practiced outwardly and those which take place inside one's own soul. So there are two different tafsirs for this ayah. Those which are practiced publicly and privately, or those which are practiced outwardly and inwardly. So this ayah could be prohibiting every lewd sin which is practiced inwardly, meaning inside one's heart. There are some fawahish that take place in the heart that a person doesn't have to move a finger in order to be guilty of. These ugly sins can simply take place in the heart. And there are other sins which take place with the limbs, the likes of adultery and fornication, the likes of theft, and the likes of drinking alcohol. These are outwardly practiced lewd sins. So this is one tafsir of the prohibition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of even coming close to the lewd sins, those which are practiced outwardly and inwardly. The other explanation of this prohibition for the outward and inward sins says that it is a prohibition of both public and private sins. And so anything which is practiced in front of people where they can see it, this is prohibited. And also everything which is practiced privately where no one can see, this is also prohibited. And Allah Azza wa Jalla warns his servants against even coming close to it. So everything which is a fahisha, everything which is extremely ugly, is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love and does not command his servants to do. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never commands his servants to perform acts of lewdness. In spite of the fact that he made decree with his divine decree that they fall into these, he's not pleased with this. He does not command them to do this, but he allows this to happen through his divine decree. Allah mentions in the ayah from Surah An-Nur mentioned by the author rahimahullah in this chapter, that indeed those who love for the news of fahisha, the lewd sins, about the believers to be spread, they shall have a painful punishment in this life and the afterlife. If we go back to the very beginning of this book, what we studied in the beginning of the book, there was a definition that we used to come to know what exactly is a major sin. That when we're reading the texts of the Quran and Sunnah, anytime we find mention of a sin, and then find after that a few key words, we will know that this sin is a major sin. And that is, whenever we find the mention of a sin, and after it, we find a mention of being cursed, or Allah being angry at whoever does it, or there being a threat of a punishment in this life or the afterlife, we should know that that sin is one of the major sins. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that indeed those who love for the news of lewd sins to be spread about the believers, they shall have a painful punishment in this life and the afterlife, we should know that spreading news in this fashion, spreading rumors and going and reporting the sins of others, letting this being carried on the tongues is a major sin. And the threat issued here is not only a threat of punishment, but it's a painful punishment. Allah describes it as a painful punishment. Therefore, we should understand by this that spreading the news of other people's sins in this fashion, the lewd sins that others may commit, is a major sin. Fadl Sheikh.
نعم هذه الآية بارك الله فيكم التي في سورة النور إن الذين يحبون أن تشيع الفاحشة في الذين آمنوا لهم عذاب أليم هذه نزلت في قصة الإفك المعروفة التي اتهم فيها المنافقون عائشة رضي الله عنها وأرضاها الطاهرة المطهرة فهذه الخصلة هي من أبرز وأظهر الخصال والصفات التي يتصف بها المنافقون وأيضا قد تكون هذه الصفة في بعض المسلمين لأن هناك بعض من الصفات التي تكون ملازمة للمنافقين قد يضعف إيمان المرء ويتصف في شيء من صفات المنافقين كالكذب والغش والخيانة والغدر ونحو ذلك هذه صفات ملازمة دائما وأبدا للمنافق وأيضا قد يتصف بها المسلم لكن اتصاف المنافق بها عن كفر واتصاف المؤمن أو المسلم يكون عن ضعف في الإيمان وضعف ومرض في القلب ومن العجب أنك حتى اليوم ترى أن هذه الآية تكشف وتوضح أعظم وأبرز صفات المنافقين أنهم يحبون أن تنتشر القبائح والربائل والذنوب والمعاصي في المجتمعات الإسلامية ولذا اليوم ما زالوا يعني كما يقال يروجون لهذه المنكرات لكن بطريقة يعني كما يقال ثقافية أو طريقة علمية أو طريقة حضارية أو طريقة تقدمية أو نحو ذلك من زخرف القول وهذا معنى قوله جل وعلا أو من بعض معنى قوله جل وعلا وإن يقولوا تسمع لقولهم لأنهم لا يأتون بالعبارات التي يعني تمجها الأسماع ولا ترغبها الآذان بل يأتون بألفاظ وكلمات وعبارات نعم يعني تكون عذبة عندما يسمعها الإنسان ولكن في باطنها السم الزعاف السم الزعاف هو السم القاتل مباشرة الذي يقتل مباشرة من حين أن يحتفيه المرء ولذا تنظر اليوم أن إشاعات الفاحشة تأتي عافانا الله وإياكم من قبل هؤلاء الذي يدعي الإسلام ظاهرا وهو في الحقيقة يبطل الكفر فيحب أن تشيع الفاحشة في المجتمعات الإسلامية ولذا دائما يركزون ويجعلون جميع قضاياهم وأفكارهم كلها على قضايا المرأة وقضايا الجنس ونحو ذلك من هذه الأمور وشرب الخمر والحفلات الغنائية وإظهار هذا الأمر بشكل ثقافي أو نحو ذلك سواء أظهروها بشكل ثقافي أو حضاري أو تقدم لا يمنع ولا يغير من الحقائق شيئا أن تكون هذه فواحش ومنكرات وأمور أتى الشرع بمنعها وبتحريمها وبحظرها عن المجتمع الإسلامي الطاهر النقي. ولهذا بارك الله فيكم يجب على المسلم أن يبتعد عن هذه الأمور وهذه الفواحش وأن لا يتصف بهذه الصفات فيشابه المنافقين في أفعالهم، بل إذا رأى إنسانا قد ارتكب شيئا من الفواحش ورأى أن في الستر عليه خير له وللمجتمع الإسلامي وجب الستر. من ستر مسلما ستره الله سبحانه وتعالى يوم القيامة. أما إذا كان هذا المرء يتعاطى هذه الفواحش وإذا سكت عنه وستر هذا الأرض ازداد وتعاظم وازداد في غيه وفحشه، فهذا يبلغ عنه السلطات أو أنه يؤخذ على يده ويبلغ عنه من يستطيع أن يأخذ بيده ويمنع هذه المنكرات كي لا تتفشى هذه الأمراض وهذه القاذورات في المجتمع الإسلامي. نعم.
The ayat that is quoted in Surah An-Nur in the text, that indeed those who love for the news of fahisha to be spread about the believers, they shall have a painful torment in this life and the afterlife. The reason for the revelation of this ayah came following the well-known incident of Al-Ifk, which is when a group of the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, falsely accused the mother of the believers, wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha radiallahu anha, the one who was purified. They falsely accused her of being an adulteress. The story behind the revelation of this ayah shows us one of the most common traits of the hypocrites, and that is that they love spreading the news of lewd sins. They love having some hot news to spread, some exciting news to spread, which gets everyone's attention. These characteristics, at times, could not only be the characteristics of the munafiqeen, of the hypocrites, but at times also, even a Muslim, even a true believer, could display some of these characteristics. The traits that are known to always be part of the character of the munafiq. Traits like lying, cheating, being treacherous, things that the munafiqeen are always guilty of, could at times also form part of the character of the believer because of some weakness in his iman and the likes. The amazing thing about this ayah is that up until this day, how many years after, this ayah continues to describe those who continue to display these traits of hypocrisy. And it continues to expose their affair and show that up until this day, the people of hypocrisy, they have never changed their ways. And they always love spreading lewdness in the society. They always love for the mention of lewd sins to be spread about. And in fact, they go about publicizing this lewdness and spreading it throughout the society in every shape and form that they can. And they change the names of it. They change the names of the displays of these lewd sins, calling them culture and calling them society, advanced development in society, and calling them higher education. They give them these beautiful names for these displays of lewdness to be practiced. And so they bring about all these immoral practices and wrap them in a pretty package so that everyone will buy it. Allah says about them, وَإِن يَقُولُوا تَسْمَعْ لِقَوْلِهِمْ. Whenever they speak, you listen to what they have to say. The hypocrites, when they speak, they don't speak in a fashion, they don't speak like idiots, such that no one would listen to them. They have a very slick way of talking. They have very sweet words. But those sweet words that sound as sweet as honey have poison in them. They taste really good, but the poison that is in them immediately kills the person who tastes one drop of that honey. And so up until this day, we find that the hypocrites continue to spread the news of lewd sins of the believers. And they themselves claim to be Muslims, but they're concealing the disbelief which they have within them. And so you'll find them always focusing on the issues revolving around women, and they're talking about women's rights and talking about sexuality and talking about drinking alcohol and how this is a display of culture and being refined. You'll find that they are supporting and funding concerts and music and dancing. And they're saying that this is part of having an advanced society and being cultured. And this doesn't change the fact. Even when they call, they bring these beautiful names to show that these bars and these concerts and the likes are a display of having an advanced society. When they wrap this pretty package around these filthy deeds, it doesn't change the reality of those deeds. They remain filthy. They remain lewd. They remain immoral, despite the labels that are placed on them and despite the packages that are wrapped around them. And these things, these practices of morality, are forbidden in the religion of Islam. And so the Muslim is not to participate in any of them, in any way, shape, or fashion. And if the Muslim sees someone else falling into lewd sins, his responsibility is to cover that person, to conceal their sin, not to go publicize and tell everybody, spread the news. As the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Man satara musliman satara Allah fi dunya wal akhirah." Whoever conceals the faults of a Muslim, Allah will conceal his faults in this life and the afterlife. So the rule of default, the rule of thumb when it comes to seeing other people's sins is that you're not to go spread them, you're to go advise that person. And the exception to this rule is when, based on the circumstances, you know that keeping quiet and advising this person is only going to encourage them to do more of this lewd behavior that they are engaged in. If you know, based on their circumstances, that advising them privately and keeping their sins quiet is going to encourage them to do this even more, then you call the authorities. Or you get someone who is able to put a stop to this, put a halt to this behavior of theirs. This is the responsibility of a Muslim. Fadhlan Sheikh.
ثم أورد المصنف رحمه الله تعالى قوله جل وعلا إذا نصحوا لله ورسوله ما على المسلمين من سبيل. كأن المصنف رحمه الله تعالى أورد هذه الآية في باب الفحش بعد أن ذكر الآية التي في سورة النور لكي يبين لك كيفية التعامل مع الفواحش إذا ظهرت. وإذا رأيت رجلا أو شخصا من المسلمين قد ارتكب شيئا من الفواحش أنه بين لك الطريق وهي النصيحة إذا نصحوا لله ورسوله، أي أن تكون هذه النصيحة خالصة لله جل وعلا على طريقة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، كما جاء في صحيح مسلم من حديث كريم الداري رضي الله عنه وأرضاه أنه قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: الدين النصيحة، قالها ثلاثا: على الله ولكتابه ولرسوله ولأئمة المسلمين وعامتهم. فإذا رأى المرء شيئا من هذه الفواحش ينبغي عليه أن لا يصرف مثله إلى أن يسكت عن هذه الفواحش، لأنه يزعم أنه بسكوته عنها أنه ستر لهذه الفاحشة أو نحو ذلك، بل الستر شيء ومداراة هذه الفواحش وعدم إظهارها شيء، وكذلك إنكار المنكر والدعوة إلى الله جل وعلا والنصيحة شيء آخر. فلا بد مع الستر من النصيحة والبيان والإنكار، كل شخص بحسبه، بقدرته، بيده، بلسانه، بقلبه ونحو ذلك من هذه المراتب المعروفة، وكذلك بحسب هذه الفواحش هل تكون من المنكرات والقبائح المعروفة من الشهوات، أو أنها تكون من البدع التي تنتشر بين الناس وتتخذ دينا. فهنا ينبغي أن ينصح هذا الشخص الذي ينشر البدع ونحو ذلك. وأيضا ليس من الفقه أن يستر على هذا المبتدع وهو يشيع فاحشته البدعية. نعم، فلا بد من بيان هذه البدعة وخطرها وبيان أنها ليست من دين الله جل وعلا وأنها ليست موافقة لسنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فالمقصود بارك الله فيكم من إرادة هذه الآية فيما يظهر والعلم عند الله أنه أراد أن يبين لك الطريقة الصحيحة في المعاملة الصحيحة عند ظهور المنكرات والفواحش والقبائح. نعم.
What the author, rahimahullah, was getting at in mentioning the second ayah, which is in the text after that ayah in Surah An-Nur, issuing a threat towards those who would spread the news of the lewd sins of the believers, he then mentioned the ayah in Surah At-Tawbah, which is, إِذَا نَصَحُوا لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, if they give sincere advice to Allah and His Messenger. And what he was getting at in mentioning this ayah was, when it comes to seeing the lewd sins of other people, how do you go about dealing with them? You, what is your responsibility? If you know that spreading the sins, spreading the news of the sins of others and publicizing them is one of the major sins, but you see someone committing them, what are you supposed to do? What you're supposed to do is give them nasiha. You're supposed to go and advise those people. You go to them when you see them, you go to them and give them sincere advice. As the hadith in Sahih Muslim, on the authority of Tamim al-Dari, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ad-deen al-nasiha." This religion is nasiha, sincere advice. And he repeated this three times. He was then asked, nasiha towards who? He said, towards Allah and His Messenger and the Muslim leaders and the laymen. To Allah and His Book and His Messenger and to the Muslim leaders and the laymen. And so your responsibility when you see someone committing a sin is not to simply keep quiet and say nothing to anyone. No, that's not what's meant by concealing the sins of a Muslim, that you don't say anything to that person or anyone else, you just act as if nothing happened. No, this is not what is meant by concealing the sins of a Muslim. Yes, you refrain from going and spreading the news, but no, you don't totally keep quiet. You go to that person and give them nasiha. You go to that person who you saw committing a lewd sin, and you tell them to fear Allah. Tell them to stop that. Tell them that this is going to bring about Allah's punishment. You don't just keep quiet. You give da'wah. You give nasiha. You go to that person and tell them to fear Allah. You make inkar. You reject acts of disobedience to Allah according to your ability. According to your ability. So the more that you have authority in each situation, you speak out against the evil according to your position. You see people practicing the sins that are based in desires and sins that are based in doubts, namely, innovation. You're not simply to keep quiet. You are to go and give nasiha. Especially when it comes to people practicing bid'ah, it's not part of having wisdom that you keep quiet about this, that you simply watch them practicing bid'ah and never go say anything to them or anyone else. No, warn against them. Go to them and tell them to fear Allah. Tell them that this action of theirs is innovated. It's not from the religion of Allah. That it's not in conformity with the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what the author, rahimahullah, was getting at in mentioning these two ayahs. There is a punishment. There is a threat of a punishment for those who would spread the news of the sins of others. But that doesn't mean that in you not spreading the news of sins of others, you don't say anything to anyone. No, you go to the people who are guilty of those sins and you tell them to fear Allah. Fadl Sheikh.
ثم ذكر المصنف رحمه الله تعالى باب ذكر مودة أعداء الله جل وعلا. ثم أورد قوله جل وعلا: لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يؤدون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباءهم. أورد أيضا آية سورة التوبة: قل إن كان آباؤكم وأبناؤكم وإخوانكم. الآية أورد قوله جل وعلا: ولا تركنوا إلى الذين ظلموا فتمسكم النار. هذا الباب بارك الله فيكم قد سبق الكلام عنه في الباب الذي قبل باب الفحش، وقد بينا بارك الله فيكم مراتب الولاء والبراء في من يحبه من كل وجه، والصنف الذي يبغض من كل وجه، وفي من يحب من وجه ويبغض من وجه. فصلنا هذا الكلام تفصيلا عند ذكر باب الباب الذي هو قبل باب الفحش، وهو باب العداوة والبغضاء. وهنا أورد المصنف رحمه الله تعالى هذا الباب مشابه للباب الذي مضى قبله، ولكن مع مزيد إيضاح وبيان وذكر هذه الآيات. فالمقصود من هذا الباب بارك الله فيكم أن المودة وأن المحبة والبغض والولاء والبراء كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام من أوثق عروة الإيمان. فإن كان محبة أعداء الله جل وعلا رضا بدينهم ونحو ذلك فهذا والعياذ بالله مخرج من الملة. ولذا أورد المصنف أيضا حديث ابن مسعود متفق عليه أن المرأة مع من أحب، أنه يحشر مع من أحب أعطى الله. فإذا كان يحب المرء الكافر المشرك الوثني يحبه لدينه ونحو ذلك فهذا والعياذ بالله يحشر معه يوم القيامة نسأل العافية والسلامة. أما إذا كان هذا الحب والمودة لأمور دنيوية أو نحو ذلك ليست دينية فهذا من الكبائر عافانا الله وإياكم. ولذا نهى الله سبحانه وتعالى عن الركون من الذين ظلموا، وهو الميل بالقلب والقول باللسان والعمل بالجوارح، كل هذا له تعلق بهذه الأمور الثلاثة. فالركون إليهم بالقلب محبتهم محبة أفعالهم، نعم، يعني يطمئن القلب، يطمئن الإنسان بقلبه إلى هذه الأفعال القبيحة وهذه الأفعال الكفرية وهذه الأفعال المخالفة المضادة لدين الإسلام، وأيضا أن يثني عليها بلسانه أن يمتدح الكفار بنحو ذلك من هذه الأمور التي تكون قبيحة عندهم والمخالفة للشرع. وأيضا من الركون عافانا الله وإياكم أن يقتدي المرء بهم بأفعالهم وألبستهم وكلامهم وطريقة تعاملهم ونحو ذلك. المسلم لابد أن تكون له هوية تختص به وشيء يختص به المسلمون جميعا، لهم هيئة ولهم عاداتهم وتقاليدهم المنضبطة بالشريعة الإسلامية. فالمقصود بارك الله فيكم ونختم بهذا الكلام أن هذا الباب بارك الله فيكم فيه بيان أنه العداوة والبغضاء لابد أن تكون وفق الشريعة الإسلامية، ولكنها على درجات متفاوتة، منها ما يكون كفرا أن تكون المحبة دينية أو البغض ديني، ومنها ما يكون يعني من كبائر الذنوب إن كان دنيويا، ومنها ما يكون طبيعيا كمحبة الزوجة النصرانية أو محبة الوالد المشرك أو الوالدة المشركة أو نحو ذلك. هذه محبة طبيعية، نسأل الله بعزته وجلاله وعظيم سلطانه أن يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضى، وأن يجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. والله سبحانه وتعالى أجل أعلى وأحكم، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك فيكم. The next chapter in the text is the chapter of the mention of loving the enemies of Allah. And the author, rahimahullah, mentioned the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "You will not find a people believing in Allah in the last day loving those who go against Allah and His Messenger," until the end of the ayah. That is from Surah Al-Mujadilah. In the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla in Surah At-Tawbah, saying, "If your parents, your children, your brothers, your spouses, your relatives, and the wealth you have acquired, and the business that you fail will go bankrupt, and the homes which you are pleased with are more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger, and striving in the path of Allah, then wait until Allah brings about His affair. And indeed, Allah does not guide the transgressing people." And Allah's statement, "And do not lean towards those who are wrongdoers, such that the fire will touch you." And at the end of the chapter is a statement of the Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that the person will be with whom he loves. In Bukhari Muslim, a person will be with those whom he loves in the afterlife, showing the danger of loving those who do not love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and do not abide by the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two chapters before this, in the chapter of wanting, or the chapter of animosity, hatred and animosity, we talked in much detail about the different levels of love. That there are certain people whom we should love entirely. There are other people we should hate entirely. And there are some people who we should love from one angle and hate from another angle. We talked about this in detail. And basically, the believers who are righteous, the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are the likes of the people, the sahaba are the likes whom we should love entirely. The disbelievers and enemies of Allah are the ones we should hate entirely. And the believers who have acts of sin and transgression are the ones we should love because of their iman and hate because of their sin and transgression. The author, rahimahullah, went on in this chapter to go into more detail about the same concept, that there are some people we should love entirely, others we should hate entirely. And this is further clarification of what was mentioned previously. Loving and hating for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and giving allegiance and disavowal based on the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the strongest manifestations of iman. And failing to do this and loving the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that removes one from the religion of Islam. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this hadith, that the person shall be with those whom he loves. And so if a person loves a disbeliever, he will be with him. He will be resurrected with the disbelievers in the afterlife. And that is if he loves him based on his religion. Not that he loves him for some worldly benefit, or he just has some natural love because this is a disbeliever and he happens to be his relative. This is not what is meant, but loving a person because of his religion, knowing that his religion is not the religion of Islam, this is what removes a person from the fold of Islam. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to protect us from that. In the ayah that Allah mentions, do not lean towards those who have transgressed such that the fire touches you. We find that there are some statements clarifying this within the text, that the meaning is, don't lean towards them. Don't adopt their practices. Don't get buddy-buddy with them. Don't imitate them. When it comes to the disbelievers and their style of dress, the way that they speak, their customs and their habits, don't just go with the flow and imitate them in everything that they do. The Muslim is supposed to have a distinct personality. All of the Muslims should have a distinct personality and culture, which is defined by the legal rulings of the religion. We should have our own customs. We should not just be copycats of the disbelievers. This is the gist of what was mentioned about this chapter, which is loving the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and again, there's a difference between loving a person because of his religion, and that is what is meant here, and simply loving a person like a Christian or Jewish wife that a Muslim man would naturally love because of being married to, and would be allowed to be married to. There's a difference between this natural love that a person would have for their spouse and the love for their religion, which is prohibited. So the distinction must be made between the two. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to give us clarity and insight such that we can make such distinctions, and we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to guide us to what is pleasing and beloved to Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.